Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Christian Lamas, 7 years of combination experience, an engineer on Truck One with the City of Salisbury. Christian always wanted to be a firefighter. When you watch movies such as Backdraft and Ladder 49, it's only apparent to live out your dreams, and that's exactly what he did. Salisbury was ultimately where Christian wanted to be due to the positive reach and influence of social media. He wanted to go to jobs, and that's where the jobs are. Christian has a huge love and passion for anything truck-related, and when you hear his response to the questions I ask, it just all makes perfect sense. My favorite quote from Christian is, "You'll never go from zero to hero." With that, I present Christian Lamas.
Hey, my name is Christian Lamas. I'm the engineer on Ladder 1 at the City of Salisbury Fire Department. I've been a career firefighter for about 6 years now, and really strong, passionate about truck culture and primary search, targeted search, and just in general about making the fire service excellent and doing what we do best. And that is, you know, protecting lives and property and doing the job to our best of our abilities. Thanks for having me, Danny.
Yeah, man. No. Awesome. No problem at all. Appreciate you accepting the invite. So let the listeners know how you got into the fire service.
Yeah. So I grew up in Florida and I ended up moving up here on my own, living with some family. And I ended up doing sort of like a live-in program at a volunteer fire department outside of Chapel Hill called New Hope. And there I got my start. You know, I lived in the firehouse basically. And, you know, those guys, I can't appreciate what those guys did for me, you know, enough. They got me into it. They set me in the right mindset. They let me run calls. I got my fire certifications there, my EMT, all of that stuff to end up getting a job. Once I turned 18, so I guess I started there when I was 16. When I was 18 and could end up getting on full time somewhere, I got on at Morrisville Fire Department, which is close to Raleigh, Cary, that CAM system. Was there for about 2 years and then ended up moving to Salisbury, just, you know, chasing fire. You know, like any young guy, all I want to do is go to fires. So ended up going to Salisbury. And what basically got me in the fire service, that's what I always want to do. I know it's cliche, but ever since I was a little kid and seeing fire trucks go down the road and, you know, seeing Backdraft and Ladder 49 as a kid, I was like, that's what I want to do. And thankfully, life ended up, you know, allowing me to do that. So,
okay. From Florida, man, how did you get from Florida to North Carolina? Like, was it just, I'm going to throw a dart at the map, or did you know some people in North Carolina?
Well, I was born in Concord, moved to Florida with my parents, but when I was a baby, and I had grandparents still living up here. And so they took me back in when I was about 16 so I could get out of Florida. And that's how I ended up back here. And, you know, I always loved this state more anyways, like no hate against Florida, but just, I mean, you know, the hospitality here and just this is the place to be, close to the mountains, close to the beach. So,
okay. All right. For those that don't know, can you tell us a little bit about Salisbury? How many stations, amount of personnel, size? It doesn't have to be exact, but just a little bit about Salisbury.
Yeah. So Salisbury is a full-time department. We've got 5 operational stations. So 4 engines, a heavy rescue, 2 ladders, and the battalion. And then we do off-shift battalions for like battalion 2 or, you know, district chiefs responding. There's about 26, 28 personnel on duty every day, staffing the trucks. We're pretty much minimum staffing now. So you're talking 3 on each truck. And it's a true engine and truck culture. So if you're riding an engine, your one job is fire attack. And if you're riding the truck, you're doing searches and vent and all that. As far as the city goes, it's a very, I mean, politely way to say this, a low income city. So lots of fire duty and all sorts of building construction. I'd say our bread and butter is mill houses, but we also have, you know, the taxpayers and the multi-million dollar mansions, you know, in the country club. So it's a good spread out district and it's a good place to learn and work because you experience everything. There's everything, you know, challenge wise when it comes to building construction or the fires or yeah.
Okay.
And as far as a first due structural box, what's Salisbury's first alarm assignment?
Yeah, so we dump the whole city on a box. So from the city, you're getting the four engines, the rescue, the two trucks, and the battalion. And then we take in resources from the county. We're very good about mutual aid, both receiving and sending. So from the county, we're getting a county engine, and which is usually, Spencer, East Spencer's coming to us, and then we get a county rescue. So there's a couple, departments that neighbor us that have heavy rescues. And so they'll come and they'll kind of be like a level one stage, but we'll put them to use wherever, they fit into to us. And maybe most people don't know, Salisbury runs a PDA system. And so all of the assignments are predetermined. First engine is doing this, second truck or first truck, second truck, all that. And so we're very strict on what the first arriving units are doing, all the way from one through fifth engine, one through second truck, and then the heavy rescue. And then when county units come in, they just take an assignment that command seems fit. But it's all about putting the right people in the right places, one, two story, having at least six companies on it. So.
Okay. All right. And so you mentioned at the time you were with Morrisville in the Raleigh area, and you were young, and like a lot of young people now, they want to go work at a department that sees jobs. So I'm assuming you applied to Salisbury. They were like, yep, let's hire him. Did you go through any sort of academy or rookie school?
Yeah, so when I got hired at Salisbury, we usually do academies, but I went through a 10-shift orientation. And so that was basically me riding fourth man. So my first assignment was ladder one. So I was riding as the fourth man on ladder one, but I had a senior firefighter in the back with me, and then, the captain and driver. But it was able to, they could train me on shift for 10 shifts, and I had a packet that had to be checked off. So, I mean, the shifts weren't lax. It was every shift was basically doing a check off of all the skills that you basically would at the end of an academy to make sure, you're good to go. And then once those 10 shifts were over, I had like a final test. And once that was it was basically, hey, you're on shift and now your 6 month probation starts, if
Okay.
that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So upon completion, man, did you? I mean, if anyone doesn't know about Salisbury, heavy fire duty, you're doing a lot with less with your manpower situation. And of course that's beyond, the fire department's control in a sense, especially the boots on the ground. But my question to you is, upon being released, did you seek out those individuals that were just jam up into the fire service there?
Oh yeah, 100%. You have to, I've always been big, and I guess I was taught this from a young age, is to find your mentors. And it's very easy to pick out in the crowd like who the guys you want to hang around. It's like the saying of like, if you hang out with the people you want to be, and you surround yourself with them, you're going to end up being them, right? But fortunately enough, at Salisbury, that is not a rare thing to find the rock stars and find the people that are into the job. Luckily enough, I started with a good captain and a good crew, and I can't thank my senior man enough that I had. He just, he was kind of like the mom figure of the truck. My engineer was tough when I first started, but because he wanted me to be excellent. But then my senior fireman was like, hey man, this is what he means by that. Like, would take me to the side and, teach me the ways. But yeah, it's all about finding your crowd. Whatever you want to be, you gotta surround yourself with that. And yeah, I mean, the rock, yeah, if you want to be a rock star, you better hang with the rock stars.
Okay. All right. So, how important would you say that is for anybody new coming into fire service? Because that's the thing, like coming into a department that if you don't really know everybody, most new people usually tend to stand back and watch and then go like, okay, like this is the person. But how important would you say that plays a role into actually finding a passion within the job?
Yeah, the one thing I would say with that's big that I had to learn pretty quickly, and now that I pass down to, I'm fortunately enough in a place now where I guess I'm the senior man and teaching the new guys, is, seek those people, but those people will also attach themselves to you when they see you, putting in the work. You shouldn't have to if you want to be good at throwing ladders, you shouldn't have to go to someone and say, I want to do, show me how to do this. Just be out there on your own. I mean, on that back pad throwing ladders. And when the senior guys see that, I mean, they're just going to attach themselves to you and be like, this person wants to be great. I'm going to help them be great. And like you said, it's, just take a step back, and it's easy to see. It's hard to say, just sitting here, but it's easy to see the guys that are into it and have the knowledge, the non-ego knowledge. That's a big thing. The guys who just want to pass it down. But yeah, I just, and you don't even have to really ask for it. Like just be in the room, just interject in the conversations in a respectful way, and just show that you want to learn. Show up every day, giving 100%, doing mask ups at the rig check. I mean, if I'm driving the truck and the new guy's in the back and he's sitting there practicing mask ups, it's going to be a good day. I'm like, this, he's already started off wanting to do something. So the next thing we're going to do is some drill that I came up with. You know what I mean? But that's what I got on that.
I'm gonna kind of throw you a curveball question. What does the term aggressive mean to you?
Okay. Yeah. So that's something a lot of people get wrong, I think. So aggressive to me is not the guy who will just run through the doorway when it's flashed over, right? Like, that's cool. It sounds cool to be the guy who just, you want to sit there and burn your gear up, all that. That's not aggressive. Aggressive to me is competent decision making and making the right decisions every time. Of course, aggressive is interior firefighting and, venting at the right time, cutting holes, all that sort of stuff. But you can't be aggressive if you're making the wrong decisions. So aggressive to me is honestly starts before the fire even happens. Being an aggressive fireman to me is preparing yourself and your crew before the fire. Before the fire ever comes out, it's a mindset thing where, we're all going to have our task and our job that we're going to complete, and we're going to do it every single time the right way. And just being ready, I think that, falls into the physical fitness and stuff. Like, you can't tell me you're an aggressive fireman if you're out of breath from the rig to the door. You know what I mean? But yeah.
So how long were you a backstep before you decided to promote up, and why?
So I guess in total, probably 6 years as, or 5 years as a backstep guy. And I only promoted, I guess, a year ago, maybe a little bit less than a year ago. And the reason I promoted is I actually went through the engineers process, kind of just to see what it was about. It was kind of, I went through it in case I wanted to ever do it, so I would have an idea. And I ended up getting offered to drive the heavy rescue at the city, and that's a pretty, hard spot to get. And so I was like, well, if there's any time to do it, it's now. I felt okay with doing it. I had, good times in the back. I had some really good fires on the back step, and I do have a passion in the outside vent stuff. And the way to do that the best, especially at the city of Salisbury, is driving a ladder or the heavy rescue. So I was okay making that move. I was still going to be, going in fires, cutting holes, all that. Not just being like a chauffeur, if you know what I'm saying. But yeah, I just promoted because I got a good assignment offered to me, and I think it was time to move up and maybe just get into that role. That's basically why.
And with you being the engineer, I just want the listeners to kind of to understand how this works. Because like most people, when they hear engineer, it's like, okay, you are responsible for the truck. If you're driving an engine, you're the pump operator. If you're driving the truck, you get your ladders placed, your aerial device thrown to the right location. But it's more than just like staying with a truck with Salisbury, right? When you're an engineer.
Correct. Yeah. So I was saying that my first assignment as engineer was the heavy rescue, and then a spot on ladder one, which I've always been on ladder. I did some time on engine three, but I've always loved the ladder stuff. So a spot opened on ladder one, so I moved back to ladder one as the engineer. So I can speak for that. So yeah, my job every day when I come in is outside vent. And so either, if I'm first or second truck, I guess you're basically wanting to hear how a fire goes driving the truck in
Sure,
Salisbury, right?
sure.
Yeah. So, my jobs as the truck driver, so we'll say I'm first truck, is rescue, ventilation, egress, and utilities in that order. And so my one goal when I first get off the truck is any rescue opportunities. And when I say that, it doesn't mean like, a mom hanging out the second floor. It's targeted searches. So the inside team of my truck is going in through the front door or wherever closest that they can get in, and they're starting a primary oriented search. I'm going to target places that are far away from where they started their search. So I'm going to target bedrooms that I know they're not going to make as fast as me by, committing to a VES. So I'll get my VESs done, and then I turn into the outside vent guy and almost like the guardian of the fire ground, I like to say, is because you basically are everyone's like watchdog almost. And so I'm committing to horizontal ventilation, vertical ventilation. I'm securing utilities if we got a gas fed fire, and then egress. So like, the biggest thing for me is having ladders at every single window, right? I don't want my guys to have to bail out and there's no, if they're on the second floor and there's no ladder waiting for them. So just having, laddering every window, vertical ventilation and VES. I'm huge on the VES. You got to choose the right times to do it. But a lot of places I know will only VES if there's like a, hey, my wife is in that exact room. We VES even without the information, just that, competent decision that like this is a bedroom, this is a targeted spot. I can get in there, isolate, search it, and hop out. And then day to day as the engineer, I mean, just like you said, the truck's my responsibility. So I make sure the truck's all ready to go. And, commercial fires, I ride a tower ladder. And so at commercial fires, my job is staying out while my crew goes in on a search rope. And I worry about same thing. It not as much search anymore, right? On commercial, I'm not VESing, but I'm doing like commercial vent roof operations. And then egress is huge to me on the commercials, right? If you got garage doors, or we have a lot of like boarded up commercials. And so getting that for the same thing, right? I don't want my guys to have to bail out in a commercial and they reach a dead end. That just is not what I want. But yeah, basically that's what my roles are now. So
Okay. And most of the time you're doing that with three people on your truck, yourself, the officer, and a fireman in the back, right?
yes. Yep. That
So with you having to do that with your manpower, how important is the physical fitness portion go hand in hand with that?
it's huge, right? And like I'll go ahead and say I've never, I've recently started working out more than I did in the past. I'll, hand up accountability for me is, I got into a way there for a while where I wasn't working out as much as I should be. But I think the biggest thing for me is picking the right things to work out. Like everyone's got their own thing, the bodybuilding, the CrossFit, jujitsu, all that. I think the most important thing is elevating your heart rate, right? Just like intense cardio. Like we got to be strong, but especially in my role, like I got to make sure my cardio is up to game because I'm telling you, I'm jumping in a window, then I'm going to the roof, I'm laddering everything. Like the minute you get out of breath and taken out of the fight is like you have to be able to do 10 tasks, not just out of breath after one. You know what I mean? There's a captain at work who does. He does CrossFit and jujitsu. Like, I think that's awesome. Like jujitsu is like fighting and all that, but all that's doing is that's elevating your heart rate and that's constant cardio. Like, that's just task-based cardio for me. And the biggest thing with physical fitness for me is when it comes to training and stuff too, is like, you ever done forcible entry and everyone's standing around the forcible entry door and they're like, all right, we're going to start from right here and we're just going to force this door. Well, on a real fire, you're never just standing around and then going for the door. It's the adrenaline rush, flying down Main Street. It's pulling up house on fire. Then a lady's yelling at you that her kids are trapped inside. Now you're forcing the door after running from the rig. So my biggest thing with that is like incorporating workouts into your training. So if you do forcible entry training, I'm talking do some calories on the bike, do some jumping jacks, some push-ups, get your heart rate up. And then get into forcing the doors. And I promise you, you do that, like you will notice a difference on the fire ground. Like it's all about getting that real world feel and getting your heart used to completing fire ground tasks while you're already, starting to get exhausted and your heart rate's up.
Love it. Love the answer. You mentioned, you're running, you're moving with purpose. Anybody that's seen Salisbury's videos, that's to me, that's the expectation when you get off the truck. You're moving with purpose. You're not walking. You're not just like leisurely taking your time. You're moving with a sense of, I have to get this job accomplished.
Yeah, I wish I could set up a drone at one of our fires and just put it above, and you just see it's like ants attacking a carrot that got left on the ground. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just, I mean, a swarm of warriors just going at it. And yeah, there is no walking on the fire ground. You know, I don't like it when people say you can't run on the fire ground. You certainly can, right? I always see people making the argument like, okay, you fall in a pothole, you take yourself out of fight. Okay, don't fall in the pothole. I'm sorry, don't do that. You know, like you have to be competent enough to not run. And it's not like a sprint. I'm not sprinting like I'm running away from a bear. I'm doing a good jog because I want these people to know when I show up, I'm going to save their families and save their property, right? And you know, I just think that's what we're meant to do. I would never want to be a homeowner and the guys are getting off the truck and they're just now putting their helmets on when they step out and they're walking to the compartment to grab their tool and they don't really even know what tool they're grabbing yet. You know, it's all about, you know, knowing exactly what you're going to do when you show up, grabbing the right equipment, making the right decisions, and doing it fast and efficiently.
Okay. All right. So you've been on Salisbury for about 6 years. So would you say the your influence, the way you guys operate, your tempo, I'm not saying it hasn't always been there, but would you say that that has been a little bit more heightened and brought more attention to because of a certain chief that you have in that organization now?
So that's always been a thing I've wondered. Salisbury actually had a good culture before he came there. And I'm not afraid. Everyone on the podcast, you know, Chief Nick Martin, right? Like he's our division chief of operations now. And I guess he's been on Sol 7, 8 years now. But they've always had a good culture. What he really brought, though, was bringing it all in and, you know, setting up the predetermined assignments and just, I don't know, he brought aggressive culture with him, though, but Salisbury did already have that, you know, a little bit. But I'd say he did elevate it, right? He brought it into a, I don't know how to describe it. Like he just put it in and made it all make sense. Like I think they were starting to do the right things. And he just led them to the water to make it, you know, make it happen more. But yeah, we're very fortunate to have him there, and he definitely, you know, does a lot and has done a lot for the organization.
No, for sure, man. I mean, I can say a couple months ago, I took a tick class with Thomas Anderson. Chris Clark actually invited me to come over, and we were at the Justin Monroe Vic Eilers station. I think that's station six.
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 All
Yep.
right. And before class started, the other crews that were on shift were there, and like these tones went off, and I swear it was like a bomb went off in the room. I look, and dudes are running out the door, and I'm looking at Chris like, what the hell just happened? He's like, oh, that's just a box. I was like, and in my head, I'm like, you don't normally, you know, most people, oh, we got a call. All right, they get up. Oh shit, I left my phone. Let me go grab it real quick. Like it was boom. Like everyone was out the door trying to be first out. Like you'd love to
Yeah.
see that. You love
Yeah. Do not get in the way when a box drops. And you know, I
it.
will say that makes me so proud to hear. Like, because I love that people notice that. Yeah. Like, and we have a, for anyone listening, like we have a special tone when a box drops. So like you got our normal house tones that'll go off, but there's basically an all call tone that drops. And that only drops when there's a structure fire. And it's this high pitch, just I'm telling you lose a year off your life every time it drops, just the way your heart rate immediately goes up. But yeah, when a box drops at the city, man, it's just an all out war and race. I mean, I remember my experience of the first ever box drop. We were sitting at dinner and the tones dropped, and my engineer got up and ended up flipping me over in my chair when everyone jumped up. And I was laying there like, what is happening? I thought I was getting hazed or something. He was like, get up, it's a structure fire. I was like, then why am I on the ground? Like, it was just an all-out battle. I mean, and that sounds fun and that sounds kind of crazy maybe to people listening, but it's just Everyone is getting on the truck as fast as they can. I mean, we're out the door in 30 seconds for, a box. And that goes back to the mindset and culture thing and the, running on the fire ground. It's the making up for seconds, right? You make up for the person dialing 911 and the time it took them to realize their house is on fire and all that stuff that you're already behind the eight ball when a house catches on fire. So let's make up them seconds with running to the rig, dressing out, masking up, running to the door. You know what I mean? It's you're at war with no peacetime. You know what I'm saying? Like
Right.
these fires will pop at any time, and you gotta own it and make up the seconds.
No, I mean, like I said, I can attest because when it dropped, everybody was gone. And then it was just me, Chris, and Thomas. And then Chris is like, y'all want to go? And me and Thomas were like, sure. So we hopped in Chris's POV and we left. And by the time we made it from the back of the building where he parked to the front of the station, all the trucks were gone, not even in
Yep.
sight. And I'm like, damn, like for me, that's awesome to see that. Because
Yeah.
and I guess some people might disagree. Well, that's foolishness. But dude, it was just the fact that literally dudes were like trying to get out of a single frame door to like instantly.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's awesome to see every time. It's fun to be a part of too. Like I don't know. The culture of that is, you're not going to be the guy left behind. And that's one thing with culture for me is, you want to put policies in place. You want to do training. You want to do all this stuff to make sure that the people coming in, meet the expectations that are already set. But if everyone's already doing it, you're either going to join in or you're going to fall behind and know you can't fit in. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, no, that makes 100% sense. Okay, all right. What kind of realistic training do you guys try to get in on, when you're on shift daily? Like, what are some of the things that you guys come up with, in case we have listeners that are like, trying to figure out things for their own organization?
I'd say, man, like training for us is pretty simple. And the reason I say that is because we do true truck and true engine training, right? And so, I mean, we're just going to focus on truck stuff. And, we have trainings where it's, we truck swap and stuff. So the engine guys can do our job, we can do theirs just as a
Okay.
refresher. But like I'll tell you, yesterday morning, and my captain came up with this. He's like, this morning, and we do forcible entry every single morning. And I would say, too, like getting a routine, right? Like, check off the rig with your gloves. If you have problems masking up with your gloves on, which I think everyone should do, check the rig off with your gloves. Get that dexterity, get that feel. My captain checks off the rig in full turnout gear, air pack, everything every morning, just to like get in the feel for the day. But I'll say, like for training yesterday, he was like, we're gonna do forcible entry, but we're gonna do like we found a victim as soon as we opened the door. He's like, I want to see what we're gonna do. So, and that's realistic, right? Like where are victims found? They're found at, their normal path of egress. They'll go towards the front door and the smoke will get them and they'll collapse. So we put the victim probably like 10 feet, behind the door. And so when you forced it was the rep of like, calling the victim, calling back to your captain, the captain radioing it in, and then you solo grabbing it out and bringing it. And to me, that's realistic, and that's starting the day off in the right mindset. Like you talk about realistic training. Tell me 10 minutes from doing that training, we can't have that exact same thing because I know it's happened, right? It happens all over the country almost every day. And then like, recently our trainings consisted of I have a backstep guy who's wanting to start driving the tower ladder as like a backup guy, and that is very important. So, I just got done telling you all my jobs and responsibilities. That's not really a junior guy responsibility. Like
Right.
that takes a lot of stuff. And so been big on training on that. And where that comes into is like, man, getting out in your districts. Like we've been taking them out in the district, spotting the tower ladder on commercials, talking about why we do it that way, aggressive defensive, prevent, all that sort of stuff. And then the other part of getting out your district is reading building construction. Like you want to talk OV and VES with a guy, like bring him out and just go look at houses in your district. Like talk about like, if this was on fire, where would you go? Like what do these windows mean? All that sort of stuff. And then I guess the realistic training thing for me kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier is like not just doing little task stuff. Like it's make it into like a drill every time. Like everything can be a drill, and elevate your heart rate, whether you're doing forcible entry or you're doing a search drill. Like I'm big on search drills, and you know, something you guys at Mooresville have search rope, right? Like for commercials. So like, you know, we're big on that. I think that's something we lack sometimes is people practicing on that. That's your lifeline when you're in commercial. And so, I mean, just black yourselves out. Get, you know, if you ride a truck, get your engine in the house to black you out and then lead you on and be like, okay, fires up here on the left, fires over on the right, put you in, tangle you around the bay, and then do some jumping jacks, get your heart rate up and say, okay, bail out. And now you got to follow the line out, right? And that's just real world stuff that you can only get in training until really it happens. And when it really happens, you want to make sure that you are bailing out of a bay before you're bailing out of Walmart. You know what I mean?
No. Okay. I do have a personal question. You mentioned, so as a driver, you know, your responsibility, ladders, utilities, outside vent work, you know, going up on the roof for ventilation. Are you completing that at times? And only answer if you're comfortable. I'm not trying to like jam you up. I'm not the safety police or whatever, but just for my personal being, like your officer and your firemen are gonna go do whatever they gotta do inside. Are you going up on the roof by yourself to start cutting?
So the one good thing about, you know, our PDAs is so I am getting us now in the city. So that it gets a little weird. I'll explain both scenarios. So in the city, I'm getting a second truck. And so even if they're riding three, their driver is gonna meet up with me. And so he'll end up being the hook man, or I'll be the hook man, and he'll cut. You know, it should be two of us on the roof. Now, when we go to the county, we have some little municipalities that we go to, and we only send one ladder truck to them. So I will be the only outside vent guy. What happens there is, I mean, worst comes to worst, if I have to open it up, I might do it on my own. But there usually is like a county engine or something, someone I can grab and be like, hey, come up here with me, you know. And grab somebody. I personally wouldn't want to do it on my own. I don't think it's safe. I also just don't think it's efficient, right? If I got a hook and Sawyer at the same time, like, you know, for stability, like these lightweight construction roofs, like I don't know if you saw recently, I forget where that just happened at, but there was a department in Ohio or something. Did you see that, where the guy fell through the roof
Yeah, I
when they were
did.
sounding?
Yes,
So
yes.
like, I'm gonna avoid, that's what's happening with these lightweight construction roofs, right? And so honestly, no, I don't want to go by myself on the roof. But the good thing about the way we do the outside vent is me and that other driver can split for other things. Like, I will jump in a window by myself. I don't need anyone there with me, because I know I'm going to be able to jump in, make the decision to isolate, and make the decision, hey, this is getting bad, I'm going to hop out. But once we finish our own solo tasks, we will meet back together and be like, hey, what you got? Okay, you want to go to the roof? We'll go to the roof. You know what I mean?
And it sounds, you know, it sounds non-complicated when you're explaining it, but I want the listeners to understand, in order for you to get to that point where you're at, where you feel comfortable, it takes repetition and practice, correct? Like you can't just say, hey, I saw something on YouTube, I'm gonna go try this beat. Like it takes, you gotta the baby steps to get to that where you can say, yeah, I had no problem going in there isolating it myself. Like you have to own those skills.
If you, I would say to, and the one thing I'll say, if no, if people are listening aren't completely familiar with what we do at Salisbury, every single box alarm, even if, you know, the first arriving unit calls nothing showing, and if the building's not really on fire, we're acting like it's on fire until literally the battalion says we are under control. So you'll see on a regular box, we're pulling lines, we're doing 360s, we're throwing ladders, we're respectful, right? When I'm throwing ladders on a nothing showing house, very careful about it. I'm not going to mess up someone's siding or their soffit for a nothing showing, but we're getting that. You know, when you pull up at a nothing showing box, we did it just this morning, you know, when I was getting off. When you pull up at that and your heart rate's up, you're grabbing the ladders, all your tools, you're in full gear and you're running around, you know, and in your head, you're picking like, okay, if this really is burning, I'm going in that window. And then they're like, all right, we're under control. You know, it's just some overcooked food. Blah, blah. What did you just get? You just got the best training of your life. I've never been to that house before. And now I just made all these quick game time decisions in like 10 seconds. And so when it really is burning, I'm going to do the same exact thing, but I'm going to have that comfortability of like, I've been here before. You know, it's My old captain, before I promoted, says it all the time. It's the prime recognition decision making. Like, if you've been there before, your brain is trained to make the same decisions and recognize what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I am a proponent. I am a huge fan and proponent of that exactly. Doesn't matter, smoke showing, nothing showing. If it's a box alarm, like I've told, so I am not a captain at my organization. I'm the senior firefighter. If my engineer's off, I move up to drive. But I told my firefighters, and my captain knows this, and he's cool with it. I said, if we get a first do box, because we ride a ladder, but we don't really do true truck work because we have our own first do and we are by ourselves. So we're like a, I saw somebody put the comment and I kind of like it. We're like a rural Quint in a sense. But like if we pull up first do and it's a box alarm, I told them we're stretching lines, we're throwing ladders. Like you said, do it respectfully because you don't want to damage any property. Because when you do it in a way where that causes damage, that's how rules can come down from the top going, if nothing's showing, we're not doing this. But to
Oh,
get the
100%.
sets and reps in, I'm a fan of it. I'm sure there's people that disagree with me. Well, what about this 2 o'clock in the morning? Then you got lines underground. We got to put it back. I'm like, with four or five people, however many people it takes minutes to put the hose back. Like, it's not a big deal for me because I see the valuable training you get, plus the newer guys that we got coming in can get their sets and reps. So that way, when it is burning, they're not botching the stretch. They're not having the ladder go through the helmet, you know, because you know they're just their adrenaline is just going crazy. So I love the fact that you do that, but I understand there's some organizations of people, which that's fine. They can have their beliefs that see that as that's kind of cumbersome, but to me, I'm all in for that. I'm all in.
And that's a hill I'll die on, man, is like, did we all forget like what it meant to be a firefighter? Like, tell me you don't hate when you come into work and don't run a call, or all you ran was, I mean, let's be honest, we're all firemen listening to this, run some bull crap medical calls. You know what I mean?
Right,
Like,
right.
you don't feel like a fireman when you leave in the morning. You're like, I didn't do anything. When you run bull crap boxes and you were in full gear, through ladders, stretched a line, did a 360, all that, you at least, like, that makes me feel like a fire. I felt like I did something. Maybe I didn't go in and I wasn't knocked to the floor with heat, and I'm like,
Right.
yeah, boys had a good fire, but like, I got my blood pumping, and I'm like, this is what the job's about. You know what I mean? And just like I said earlier, like, the new guys see that and they're like, this is what this place is about. And then just like you said, like, you have new guys stretch. If they're on the back of an engine and they know they have to stretch on every box alarm, they're going to get so good at stretching. Like, I'm sorry, my department is so good at stretching lines, and it's because we do it like that. We even make, if you're brand new on the engine, like, we'll make you stretch on fire alarms, right? Like,
Okay.
we run fire alarms, and like, we'll have you stretch and get some reps on those. Because like you said, right, you run a fire alarm, one of two things happens, right? You're going to run the fire alarm or box, and you've got a line on the ground. A lot of people argue, like, well, what happens when a real house fire pops off? All you do is disconnect that line and leave it in that person's yard. You'll be back. There's other hose lines on the truck, right? It takes it honestly, it takes 5 minutes to pack it back. And
Right.
it's the best training. You're talking about realistic training. That's it, brother. Like, just getting out there and doing it in the street, you know?
Yeah. Now, like I said, I'm a fan of it. It's only because, like, you know, me being I'm a huge up north DC PG fan, and that's what they do. They lay lines dry. They stretch on showing, nothing showing doesn't matter. And to me, it's like, what better way to get those sets and reps in? What better way to say, like, hey, I'm a fireman, even though you have fire or not, but like that way, when it comes time to the real deal, you're not botching it up. Because especially nowadays, you have a house on fire, somebody's going to be doing this with their phones.
Oh, yeah.
And with social media the way it is, you do not want to be that person that botches the stretch horribly and the comments and the shares. You know, people see the last name on the jacket or the department name and they're like, ugh, you know what I mean? Like, who wants to be
Yeah.
that person?
And not only is like firefighter social media brutal about that stuff, citizens are getting smarter with this stuff. They
That's right.
know what a crappy fire department looks like. And
That's
like,
right.
you really like, you want to go ask city council for raises and all this stuff, and then there's a video of y'all just screwing up a fire. Like that is, and I just can't live with myself either. If I screw up a stretch or I screw up a VES and like someone dies at my hands, like that's just not where I want to be, you know? And it's just, it never forget why you signed up for this. Like I can't get down with that. You're coming to work to work on your part-time job, or you just came to work to watch TV. Maybe if a fire, you're never going to go zero to hero. If you aren't constantly training, and if you constantly don't have the mindset, you're not going to go from a couch potato to an all-star rock star fireman. I don't care how many years on you have, you lose it, right? Like the minute you stop training and you stop putting yourself in that headspace every day, you're not going to be what you used to be. You lose it. Like I've seen it happen. There's guys who I've seen that are absolute rock stars, and they just become lazy and they're not what they used to be. You have to stay on it. And it sucks, but this isn't just a job, it's a lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like you're my, I know I'm not the only one. My life revolves around this job. Good or bad, it does. This is all I think about. This is all I ever want to do, you know? And I just, that's what people deserve. And you signed up for it. Like you took an oath. And you said you were going to be a fireman, and you said you were going to save people. Act like
Love it. Love it. Okay.
it.
Personal question for you. Why do you love the truck so much? Because you stated that you've been on an engine and you know the heavy rescue in the truck, but why do you find the truck culture life so appealing?
Yeah, so I did time on an engine, and I thankfully got a lot of time on the nozzle. And I had a really good engine captain, so I learned that very well. But putting out fire is very fun to me. But I have a really big love for search, and whether it's oriented or targeted, that's just always been the thing I've kind of been drawn to, and I find myself nerding out on more. And so the truck just opened that up for me. I love, forcing the door. Bank down smoke and having to search a house I've never been in before, and having to make, I just think it's more of like the solo decision making. Like when you're on the nozzle, it's a pretty easy thing to do. I'm not taking anything away from the engine guys. That is a tough job. Like you have to do it right. But it's like, okay, I'm gonna go to the fire and open the nozzle. The search is like making the right decisions, like right or left, or I'm picking this room, or I'm starting at the fire and going back, or I'm targeting a certain area from information I got. That's basically why, I'm drawn to the truck, is just the search stuff. I just love it. And now that I've become a driver and all that, like it's the search stuff still, but I love like the tower ladder work. I love having to, it goes back to the realistic training thing we were just talking about, like driving the tower on every fire alarm, not just boxes, on every single fire alarm. I have to position the tower to be able to do everything aggressive, defensive, going to the roof, making all the windows, all that, rescues, all that sort of stuff. And I love pulling up to a building I've never been at, like, and having to make a 10 second decision while pulling up on where I'm going to position the rig. Like, I just love that stuff. It's just, I think honestly, it's the challenge of it. That's why.
No, I love it. I love your answer. And I will say, so the pat for the past 2 years, I've been on a truck going on 2 years now. I was on an engine for 16 years. I will say, being on the truck side, it's a whole different mindset. It's a whole different skill set. It's a whole different body mechanics. And I say that because I took a search class, and the instructor, what he said, I found very true after digesting the information and putting those skills to use. When you do a search, at the end of it, if you're not tired, your search sucked. And if you feel offended by that, I'm sorry, but a true search, when you exit that structure, you should feel defeated.
Man, that is so, I love that, Danny. That is so true. Like, tell me, like, at the end of your search, if you're not sitting there, your thirst of Gatorade, like, wanting rehab, like, that is so true, man. Like, searching is not just walling around a room. I mean, it is legit, like, 100 miles an hour searching like your baby's in there. I love that. That is so true.
I'm gonna go to all right, next question. Characteristics. So in your opinion, which holds more weight? Years of service, education, work ethic, or on the job experience?
Yeah, so that's a big one, and I think it's kind of controversial, right? I think, I, in my opinion, I think it's job experience. I would say, it's both. It's work ethic and job experience, right? Like, the go-getters, all that. But I think, if you weigh years of service and job experience, a 2-year guy at a busy city on a busy fire truck, can have more experience than a 10-year guy on a truck that does nothing.
That's a
You know what I
fact.
mean?
Yep.
And so I would say all of those, though, you never put down any of the guys that, like, the 10-year guy that doesn't have as much on the job experience as the 2-year guy, right? They all have something to offer, whether, the years of service guy just has more life experience and wisdom, and stuff like that. And he's been around the block a time or two. Well, let the job experience guy teach the 10-year guy, and the 10-year guy teaches him the wisdom and all that. I think they all have their role and all that, but I think what tops the cake is the work ethic and job experience. I just think, if you're on a busy fire company, you're going to fires, you're just gonna know what's going on a little bit more. And to me, if I'm picking guys, if I'm a captain one day and I'm picking guys on my company, it's the guys with the work ethic that are go-getters. They come into work every day, they want to be rock stars, they want to be better. And the guys who have been to fires, like, those are just the guys I think I can trust more personally, like the guys who have the on-the-job experience.
No, that's a fact. And especially nowadays too, you have a lot of these, you have a lot of departments that are doing, these live-in programs. And, the PG Virginia DMV area, heavy fire duty, these young guys, like a lot of these departments are having 20, 21-year-old captains
Yeah.
that are getting the experience more than a 15-year vet. Like it's just, I
Yep.
hate to say it, but it's valid. Like it's facts. They go up there, get the experience, get the knowledge, do the bread and butter task day in, day out. When they leave and they go to another organization, some people might look at them like, well, who's this person? But you never know unless you ask, hey, what's your background? Because I've seen you do this, or your skill set, or you're masking up with gloves on. Like all that plays a huge factor.
Yep. And I would say, like, it's no fault to anybody if you have 10 years on and you just haven't gone to the fires
Right.
that they haven't, right? Like, no fault to you, but I mean, it just weighs more. Like, I just, you the best way to learn, isn't the training. It is good to train and all that, but, like, the best way to learn really is being put on tough decisions or tough situations, making tough decisions on the fire ground. Like, you can't replace that. It's just like you think about law enforcement or something, or just any other job, like doing the real thing. Like law enforcement, the guy who's been in the police chases, bunch of police chases, like, he's gonna be good at that. Like, it's just it's all the same to me,
Yeah, I agree. And my caveat to it, like I tell people, like, so for me, Salisbury Morsel, about the same size, maybe. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but like as far as like stations and stuff, but and some people that that are at Morsel might hear this and be like, oh, that's kind of fucked up. But like I speak the fact. Salisbury, you guys see more fire than we do. So yeah, you're gonna have that experience. You're gonna be able to do certain skill sets because you're able to, you're the jurisdiction that you guys protect, you're able to see that. And if you're in an organization that doesn't go to as many fires, what I tell people to do, which is why I do it, I go to outside training. I go to classes that do live fire because I don't get it as much as I want to, but I still put myself in there to get that knowledge and that experience.
And man, that's what you have to do. Like, not everyone is fortunate that their department goes to a bunch of fires. And I
Right.
never hold it against anybody if they don't, right? But, like, you can't be the guy that says, well, my department doesn't go to many fires, so I'm just gonna, do the bare minimum. Like, you gotta be like you, Danny. Like, you have to be going, reaching out for these outside trainings, stretching lines on boxes, just you've got to supplement it somehow. Because I don't care if your city doesn't go to many fires, it still will have a fire, or it will have fires. Like, it's gonna happen. And I promise you, when the grandma meets you in the front yard and says, "My baby's trapped inside," you want to be ready for that. Like, you have to supplement that experience somehow. And it, to me, like you're saying, it's the outside training and it's the realistic training on the job every single day. It's coming in, it's masking up with your gloves on, it's stretching on boxes, all that stuff ties together. Does it completely replace the job experience? No, but you're a hell of a lot better than someone who does nothing at all.
That's a fact. Let's love it. Okay. All right. I always like to ask the guests at the end, like it's not to say, look at me, but I believe like everybody that comes into fire service should have aspirations. So before you decide to hang it up, where would you like to see yourself?
Oh, geez. With the place I'm at in my life, I'm very happy driving the tower ladder. I think I'll stay there for a pretty long time. But I'd say overall aspiration where I want to end, I probably want to end as a truck captain at the city. Just because I think, as much as you can push a mindset, from the irons guy, from the guy in the back, I think as a captain, I would love to be able to form a crew that like inform a specific mindset. Like if you ride, Christian Lambus's ladder one at City of Salisbury, like this is how we're gonna perform. This is how we're gonna act every day. Like I think that would be very beneficial. So maybe one day that's the overall goal.
But for right now, you're good with wheeling and dealing
Yeah,
the
man.
tower ladder, going to work as needed.
Yeah, I ride up a lot at the city. I'm an acting officer, so like that's also a good part of like my position is like I'm most of the days I'm driving the tower ladder doing what I love, cutting holes, VESing. But then I also get the fun experience of like sometimes I have to slide over and get that experience as the captain and lead the day and do that side of it. So I'm in a good spot right now. I'm pretty happy with the spot I'm in. Yeah.
Okay. And are you a part of any cadres or training groups or anything like that? That way, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, just talk shop on your knowledge of and your love for truck
Yeah.
things.
You can find me on social media. I'm Daniel will have my name in the title of this. I'm sure just look that up on Facebook and then at Lambus148 on Instagram. Just message me with anything you got. If there's something I love doing, if I'm chilling, I'm gonna message you back. I'll get back to you in a day or two and let's talk shop, man. That's what I love to do. And then yeah, I'm an instructor with Combat Ready Fire Training, so Nick Martin's training company. So I teach truck stuff there. Yeah, feel free to hit me up anytime, and that's what I love to do. Let's talk shop, and yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Christian, I appreciate it. I appreciate you accepting the invite. I probably threw you off when I asked. You're probably like, "Wait, what? Like, who is this?" But and what am I doing? But I really appreciate it. It goes without saying you go it goes without saying you guys are neighboring departments to us. We don't frequently respond into Salisbury, but if shit hits the fan, I know Salisbury's on Morzel's alarms. I forgot what number it is. Don't hold me to it. But I do know for a fact that Salisbury is on Morzel's, run cards. But I'll say that, man, you guys got some jam up guys, and gals. I've been fortunate to see it in action. I love the message that your department pushes. I love your year-end review videos because it just shows what Salisbury is known for, how they operate. I love the tempo. I'm sure, I don't have to tell you guys this, but keep doing what you're doing. For those that want to be a part of it, you can always look up Salisbury's information. But I'll also say too, I love the fact that there's no perfect department out there. So Salisbury has their own issues when it comes to getting the city to push out a little bit more money than I think you guys are, that I feel like you're worth, that a lot of places are not getting that love from city council, but that doesn't stop you guys from doing the day in, day out tasks, training, skills. Just because you don't get this pay raise doesn't mean, all right, I'm going to botch this cross lay on this. You guys still go to work, and I love the fact that you do that. So I just want to say thank you for that, man.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, Danny. Yeah, it was a pleasure to be on here. I thought this was awesome, and yeah, you're right about that, man. Like No matter, you can't let negativity from other sources, what if it's your city council not paying you, what if the fire chief put out some new policy you don't like, that can't stop the mission. And the mission is to be a good fireman and get it done, you know. So I love that you noticed that. And yeah, it's what we love to do, and we're there to save lives,
Bro, I'm a nerd, man. I'm a nerd. I don't look like it, but like my social medias are nothing but fire. Like between what's going on with you guys here recently, Winston's doing an uphill battle right now. They just recently showed that video of the mayor or whoever the guy was, pretty much ignoring the president of their IAFF. And I'm like, it's the shit like that that this is why sometimes too people don't come into the fire service. Oh, actually, we didn't hit that. We didn't hit that. So we're gonna hit that real quick because I knew I was skipping something. The recruitment and retention. That to me is what's hurting the fire service because individuals are like, well, why would I go work for the city that doesn't value their firefighters? So with that, I preemptively almost ended this conversation, but what's your take on recruitment and retention?
So I'll hit recruitment first. So kind of like what you're saying is you see us on social media, you see what we're doing. I think nowadays, like we got to think about the generations that are coming in, right? Like, and I'm part of that generation, right? One of the reasons I went to Salisbury was because of social media. And I think, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of departments start to do it. Like, I'll give a shout out, like City of Durham. I saw City of Durham just now, like, started doing their social media like really well. And I look at that, I'm like, damn, that looks like a cool place to work, right? And I just think you got to do it, and you got to market to the people you want, right? Like Salisbury, because of our social media and all that, I think we're marketing to the people that want to be aggressive firemen, that want to stretch on boxes, that want to be fast paced, all that sort of stuff. And hopefully, you know, if they're anything like me or the guys that I get along with good at work, like they don't care about the pay. They're there because at the end of their day, when they're on their deathbed, they want to hang up their fire helmet and be like, I was a fireman, you know, like, and then retention comes down to keeping the right people. You know, you're always going to have the people that come in that didn't really get a good idea of what they were coming into. And, you know, let's retain the people that we want to retain, right? Like, I don't think it's kind of like, you know, a captain that I'm really close with at work, used to be my captain, says the 10-80-10 rule. So what that is 10% are rock stars, 80% hold the standard, right? The minimum standard. The other 10% are plain and simple pieces of shit, right? And so let's retain the rock stars and let's push the minimum standard people to look to those rock stars, right? And then the other 10%, they're either going to get up at least to the minimum standard role or they got to go. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, plain and simple. Like, if you're either going to get a civilian killed or you're going to get one of your friends killed, right? And I think I can't live with myself like that, right? And hopefully they can't either. So let's retain the right people. And I think part of retention, let's put money aside and all that. You know, it's let the firefighters be firefighters. Let them come to work every day and do the job or practice the job and treat people right. Like, treat people right every day. You know, I get, you know, the new people, and you know, I've made my mistakes and I've had, you know, stuff happen to me, but like, you know, put the hazing aside, like, let's treat people right. And you know, let the fire service be a family again, you know, too. Like, we see it on social media all the time. You know, the biggest enemy is another firefighter. Like,
That's a fact.
let's not make our firehouse like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. If a guy's not holding the standard, like, they're going to be outcast a little bit. Good. They should know that they're not holding the standard, right? But like, your fellow and your friends, like the guys you're riding the fire truck with, that's your family. Those are your brothers. Let's keep it like that. And I think that's huge for retention.
Yeah, no, love it. Love it. I knew I was forgetting something, but I'm glad it popped up. I saw it on the notes. I'm like, crap, I forgot to ask. But no, everything you just said is right. Every organization has those. You have those rock stars. You have the ones that, as much as it pains for me to say, because like to me, I look at it like when it comes to sports, if you have a player that's just like he's riding the standard, to me, you're like a bench warmer. But I don't want to say we accept it, but we allow it to us in a sense. But like the ones that just don't care, I don't get how we can continue to go, oh, well, that's just that person. It's like, no, let's just get, I'd rather ride short than have that person on the truck because they don't want to be here. Like, I don't understand how, and maybe it's touchy, it's a touchy subject, HR gets involved, but you can't, the bottom 10%, you cannot expect them, they will not rise to that level of occasion. It's not gonna fucking happen. And maybe in your mind, maybe in La La Land, but that's not gonna happen when, like you say, you show up and it's like, oh shit, well, we got what? Somebody's actually trapped in there, and it's like, oh, now I have to go to work. They're not gonna, it's gonna be terrible. It's gonna be botched.
There's no zero to hero moment, man. There is none. And I think, if you want to keep the last 10%, if you want to keep the people who just can't even bring themselves to hold the minimum standard, if you want to keep that from happening and that number growing, you have to start the mindset from day one. You cannot let new guys come in and slack off and show them that they can relax. Like, you have to instill into them right away what they signed up to do and what they're here for. So
I agree.
that's what seems to work at Salisbury. So I can speak to that,
Right. Okay. All right. Love it. Love it. Like I said, man, I appreciate you coming on. I've loved this talk. I love this chat. So yeah, I really appreciate you accepting the invite, coming on, man, and definitely talking very positive, like spreading that gospel for the fire service.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.